Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And you say, what on earth are you thinking, preacher? Well, just stay with me and I'll reveal how stupid I am. But no, I've got a method to my madness. And I want you to understand that there are a lot of places we can run with a Christmas message. But there's a particular passage here that I want us to focus on in the fact that and normally around Christmas time, I'll preach on the virgin birth. And I want us to understand if it was not for Jesus being born of a virgin, none of us would be saved. We wouldn't have any hope of salvation. You say, why on earth is that, preacher? Because if Jesus had the earthly father like you and I have, he would have the same sin problem that you and I have. He would need a Savior. He wouldn't be able to be qualified to be the Savior.
Right.
But I want to spend some time today on talking about because of the virgin birth. Jesus had some special blood. His blood was not tainted with sin. You see, what happens is when a man and a woman produce a child, the seed, the sin curse, comes from the man. And that's what happens, is the fact that the man is the problem. He passes that sin nature on to the children. And God had to do something special to alleviate that problem. And he did exactly that, but by providing a woman having a child without a man. And so I want to spend some time on dealing with that special blood, or I've entitled the message, His Own Blood. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to start with verse 4 in Revelation. Well, let's start with verse 3. There's a blessing in verse 3 that I want us to understand. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And this is what I want us to focus on here, this last part of verse 5. And it says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, what a blessing it is to know that it wasn't man's blood that was shed on the cross, but Lord, it was your blood. It was God's blood. It was holy blood. It was sinless blood. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just help us today to see just how special that blood is. Lord, the world doesn't like to think about blood, and normally we wouldn't either, but it's because of the blood we get to go to heaven. It's because of that special blood that was shed on the cross so many years ago, that you used it to pay our ransom, to redeem us. Lord, I pray for you just to meet with us today. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to have his way in the message. And Lord, keep the preacher out of the way. And Lord, you know I'm able, well able to mess it all up. Lord, don't let me do that. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be the preacher today. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things I want to point out here is the fact that because, and this is all running from the concept of the virgin birth, because Jesus was virgin born, what happened was he caused his blood, it was his blood that was not tainted with sin at all. Nowhere did Jesus have any sin. Nowhere did he have sin from the curse of the parentage all the way from Adam and Eve. A lot of people think that what has to happen is, and there's some religions that teach this, that if you baptize the child when they're a child, that washes them from their sin. I got news for you. Baptism doesn't wash away your sin. And this passage right here tells us clearly that our sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus, by His own blood. Not just any old blood. It was God's blood. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to run a few verses today. I want us to look at just how special this blood is. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. And this is an unusual verse because it mentions the blood, but it never mentions Jesus. And it says, and this is the Apostle Paul talking. It says, for I have not shunned, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. With whose blood? Doesn't say Jesus. It mentions God, and it mentions the Holy Ghost. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was not just any old blood. It was God's blood. It was holy blood. The thief on either side of Jesus. There was a thief on either side. Their blood wouldn't help you. If you could be crucified, it wouldn't help you. It had to be holy blood. And I like what it says in the verse we read a while ago, Revelation 1:5, because it said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Because he loved you. Because he loved me. Because he loved all of us so much that he was willing to go through that to shed his own blood so we can go to heaven. And so we don't have to go to hell. Because that's where we're headed if he had not shed his blood for us. And that's where you're headed if you don't put your faith in Jesus. You don't put your trust in him. That's where you're headed. That's why he died. To keep us from going to that awful place. You say, preacher, you're scaring me. If it scares you to get saved, praise God. Because I don't want anybody to go to hell. Especially anybody that's within the sound of my voice. That's why Brother Meyer and I pass out the Bibles, why we pass out tracts, why we do the things we do. So that that's why we're having the service at the youth shelter. Why? Because we want people to get saved. We want to tell them about how special that blood really is. But here in this particular passage, what does it say? It said to feed the church of God. Now I want you to understand that Paul's talking to preachers here. That's why he's talking, he's calling them an overseers, and he's talking to them and says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. What's an overseer? The preacher, the pastor. And he was talking to pastors there. And what's it say? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know what? You've been bought. If you're saved, you've been bought twice. You say, what on earth are you talking about, preacher? Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm getting in a bad habit, or a good habit, I guess it is, to make you use your Bible. Because we're going to flip back and forth a few times today. But let's start with verse 1 and read a few verses there. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. What? Begotten us again. He bought us first because he made us. He created us. And if you got saved, he's bought you again. That's what it's talking about. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But look at what's coming. Oh, I like this next portion. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And let me put it this way. Nobody's going to get to heaven without a reservation.
No.
Okay? Squire Parsons wrote a song a while back called I've Got a Reservation. If you are saved, you've got a reservation. Everybody's going to have an appointment with God, either at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved, or if you're not saved, at the great white throne judgment. Nobody's going to get away without meeting him one way or another. Now, you do not want to meet him at the great white throne judgment.
That's right.
The great white throne judgment takes place just before everybody that appears there is cast into the lake of fire. You don't want to be there. That's why this church is here. That's why I became a preacher. That's the purpose of Christians, is to try to make sure that people go to heaven and never end up in that awful place called the lake of fire. Amen. By the way, and I'll say this, I've said it many times, the lake of fire was not created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41, if you want to look it up. But we see here is the fact that we've got a reservation. If you're saved, you've got a reservation. Why? Because he purchased you. Why? Because he loved you. And he loves me. He loves everybody. And it'll break his heart for anybody to go to hell. But he's got a plan. And his plan includes you getting saved. And then his plan is, after you get saved, he's got a plan to use you to make a difference in this nasty world. And by the way, if you hadn't noticed, you're not paying attention, this world's getting nastier by the day. It's getting sicker by the day. They talk about COVID. I want you to tell you, this world's got a COVID of sin that is just increasing every stinking day. And the only thing holding back people from going to hell is churches like this one and people like us that are standing up and speaking up and sharing the gospel.
I want you to think about this. Where would you be? I think about it often. Where would I be if it had not been for somebody telling me about Jesus? What about these bus kids?
You say, preacher, you're doing too much. You're driving that bus. Hey, I'm going to drive that bus as long as I can, unless I get somebody else to drive it. But it's going to stay on the road till the wheels fall off. Why? Because people need to know, the kids need to know, that that blood is special and it was spent for them.
Amen.
As much as for any of us. But let's go to another place. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, not too far from where we are in 1 Peter. Hebrews chapter 9. Now verse 12, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm glad I've got, when Jesus shed his blood on me, it proved that he loved me. It proved that he washed me. It proved that he purchased me. But it also proves that I've got eternal redemption.
Amen.
That means it cannot be revoked. No matter what you do, no matter what I do, it cannot be revoked. I'm going to be with Jesus. That's how I know that I'm going to go to heaven. Not because I'm special. The same offer is to anybody.
Right.
It's just that I was smart enough to realize that Jesus had already paid the price for me, and I needed his redemption. I needed his blood to wash my sins away. And if it wasn't for that virgin-born Son of God that came and shed his blood, we'd all be in trouble.
Right.
Not a person. Not a human being would ever make it to heaven.
Right.
But let's go someplace else. Go to Romans chapter 5. And I know a lot of these things are verses that you're familiar with, and that's fine, but we need to put it all together. There's times when we need to do a study on certain subjects. And the study on the blood of Jesus is not something that we should take lightly. It's not only important, it's vital. But look at what it says in verse 8, and let's start with 7. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. That verse tells us two things. It tells us, number one, we're justified. Now, justified is a big word but the simplest way to explain it is it means that you are just, and it's as just as if I'd never sinned.
Yep.
Okay? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? That's what justification is. When Jesus justifies you and justifies me, he washes our sin away to a point where we see a clean slate in front of us. But not only that, look at what else it says. He not only justified us by his blood, but it says, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. What wrath? The wrath of God, the judgment that's going to fall on this world called the tribulation. By the way, there's another interesting study if you want to study it out, the word wrath. If you go to Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, I think it is, and it talks about the fact that God has reserved His wrath for His enemies. Well, if you're saved, you're not His enemy. You're His child. And I don't have to worry about that wrath of God to come down on this planet. One of these days, the rapture is going to be taken away just before the wrath of God falls. Called the tribulation. 7-year tribulation. And you don't want to be here. About 75%, according to the percentages in the book of Revelation, about 75% of the world's population will die in those 7 years. Where would you die? Where would you bury 6.5 billion people or whatever it is? 6 billion people? That means every person that's left behind has 3 people to bury. That's a lot of burying. That's going to pollute the waters. That's going to pollute, going to be stinking, disease, all kinds of crazy stuff. That's not even counting the plagues that are going to be on each person. So we're justified. Well, let's see. We've been washed. We've been purchased. We've obtained eternal redemption. We've been saved from the wrath and justified. But let's go to one more place. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. All of this, and I've never put this together before in a message, but all of this because of the virgin birth. This is the result. This is why the virgin birth was necessary. Look at verse 6, and it says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." There's that word again, redemption, but there's another word now called forgiveness. You mean His blood did all that? And so much more. So much more. You can't get it all. Your mind, my mind, will not grasp all that God did for you and I through the blood of Jesus. It was that was exactly what we needed for the problem we have called sin. One more place. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And let's start with verse 5. Actually, I'll start with verse 4. I like this verse. It tells us why. And I believe I like reading from John because John gives us an indication why he writes certain things. Look at verse 4, and it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." Not most of your sin. Not original sin. And then, by the way,
the original sin is tied up with, gets, is talking to, some people believe that your baptism, I think the Jehovah's Witnesses believe this too, and the fact that when your reason you're baptized is your baptism cancels out the original sin, but all the other sins you're going to have to make up for by being good. You don't talk about a sick concept. I'm glad this verse right here tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, there are people that don't know what all means, but all means all, and that's all means. And the truth is, what we see here is the fact that you want to be cleansed from your sins, you got to go to Jesus. And when you get cleansed from your sins, now He wants you to stay clean. You become a child of His, what happens is He's going to spank you. But one thing He doesn't do, He doesn't spank the devil's kids. Their spanking's coming for eternity. But what we need to do is to remember that the blood of Jesus is what we need. The blood of Jesus is what helps us get saved. It's the blood of Jesus. And it's all because of the virgin birth. And I want you to understand, how hard would it was it for the Lord? We sing that song, it has to do with the fact that He's coming again. The next time He comes, He won't have to die for me. Amen. And one of those verses, it says, how hard would it be for a man to think that a man come from heaven knowing then of Calvary? How hard would it be for you, for me, if our family was at stake, just people we know and love was at stake, to go to an awful cross like that, to even to be beaten? And yet, the Lord did it willingly. Bible says He endured the cross, despising the shame. And He did it for you. He did it for me. That blood is special. And there's nobody else that could have done what Jesus did to pay for your salvation, to pay for your sin debt. It was His own blood. It was God's blood. And I'm glad. I'm so glad that He did that for you and I.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. Have you put your trust in that blood? Your good works, your church membership, your baptism, none of that's going to help you get to heaven. Contrary to what you might have heard. We see right here in this particular verse 7, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You want to be cleansed from all your sins? You got to go to Jesus. You got to call on Him. He willingly will save you. He longs to save you. Don't put it off. What you're doing is you're taking for granted that you're going to get another chance. We don't know. Just don't know. You're here. God allowed you to be here. God prompted the preacher to preach on the blood, that special blood, that God's blood, so that you would understand. The reason we have an altar call, the reason we have an invitation, is because what we want is for people to respond. You say, what do you mean respond? We want you to come down here. Maybe you don't. Maybe the only thing you want is to come down here and pray for somebody that's not saved. Or maybe you want to come down here and you just want to talk to the Lord yourself. You've got a burden. You've got a problem. The invitation is for us to respond to the message. There are churches that don't give an invitation. You don't have an opportunity to respond. All I'm saying is, this is where the business is done with in the church after the message. And if there's something that the Lord's laying on your heart, right now, this is the best time to get it settled. You don't know that He's going to bother you about it again. He's bothering you because it's bothering Him that you're not making that decision. His blood's special.
Amen.
And He did it for you. He did it for me. Don't put it off. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to know about this special blood. This blood that was shed so long ago. This blood that You and I, that each one of us here can use to be saved. We can call on Jesus and it's our medicine. It's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all sin. Lord, it also keeps us from the wrath to come. Gives us forgiveness and redemption because You purchased us when You died on the cross. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we've been bought with a price and we're not our own. Lord, I pray for the invitation. I pray for You to help anybody that wants to be saved to have the courage to come forward. The Bible says that he that believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Not a verse we use very often, but boy, how powerful that is. Lord, I pray for nobody here to be ashamed of coming forward and getting it settled with Jesus. Thank You, Father, for loving us. Use the invitation for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Hymn 164.